This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, more pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 18th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Xavier Curry went 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He did great against the Tigers. He also did well against the White Sox and not good against the Rays. And what do we do here? Well, Curry throws a four-seamer and a slider. The slider has had decent PLV marks and it's had some success in these small samples, but really it's just did well against the White Sox and Tigers, and I don't really think it's that exceptional of a pitch. And the four-seamer is not a good one, and there you go. I don't really think there's much else here. He's getting an extended look inside the rotation of the Guardians with Bieber and McKenzie out, and I still don't really think that this is worth your time, especially with the Dodgers up next, and I don't think you're going to go after him with the Twins and Twins after that. Spencer Strider did super well against the Giants. Of course, he's going to ace. Brandon Fott did well against the Padres, and once again, he did well when I didn't really expect him to do it. I just don't think that the four-seamer and slider are that good. However, maybe I am underrating that sweeper, which is the slider I'm talking about there, and the four-seamer did well getting outs. We have also seen the changeup show up sometimes, too. Maybe that's how he is. Maybe he's just a Toby moving forward, and that's that. He does get the Reds next with them hosting the Reds in Arizona as opposed to going to Cincinnati. I think that's fine, but I do think the floor is pretty bad for Brandon Fott. And even in this game where he came through, it was still 5 strikeouts and 3 walks, and it did feel like it was the Padres giving in to what Fott was doing as opposed to Brandon Fott being this exceptional pitcher. But I'm glad it worked, and I guess we can just kind of make him a Toby for that next one, but don't really think that Brandon Fott is the guy that we thought he was in the beginning of the year. That was with four-seamer dominance, and this is not that. Bryce Miller against the Astros did really well, got the win with just two Ks with 0 earned runs and 6-point innings. Yeah, no, this was a very fortunate game. It's nice to see a guy like Bryce Miller, who we are starting anyway, hoping for great things, to just get lucky once. You know, we see a lot of pitchers we're not into get lucky, and sometimes we see these guys who are really good not get lucky, and then they get more punished for the mistakes, and that's just have Bryce Miller go, you know what, I'm going to go 1-for-29 whiffs on my four-seamer, have a sub-50% strike rate on my slider, but and be inconsistent with my sweeper, and still survive. That's nice. But yeah, this was not the good Bryce Miller before, so we get good matchups moving forward. Seth Lugo against the Diamondbacks did really well. 9 strikeouts, 8 base runners, 0 runs in 6 innings. Really good CSW marks on the fastballs. The curveball wasn't as consistent as we normally see. But yeah, he's a good stretch ahead of him. We hold on to Seth Lugo. Pablo Lopez is going to ace. Good to see the changeup look legit again. 7-for-23 whiffs on that. And not to mention, he also had 5-for-21 on the sweeper. He's so good. Julio Lucchese had a good start against the Cardinals. I don't really buy it, but maybe there's something here if he does get more opportunities. The Mets don't really have him in the rotation at the moment. And if he, even if he were, then he'd get Atlanta next. So I don't really want to go for that. It's a normal Lucchese of the Churv. Yes, it's a curveball that is thrown with a changeup grip. It is known as a curveball to Savant, it is known as a Churv outside of it. 8-for-31 whiffs here with a 39% CSW. If he's doing that with the sinker landing glove side a ton for called strikes, 25% called strike rate, then yeah, that will work, but that's it. And that's not really that high of a ceiling. And yeah, I don't think we're going to see much more of Lucchese. Maybe we do, but it's Atlanta next, so no. Jose Berríos is opponent agnostic. That means even in Cincinnati, like yesterday, we still started, what do you know, 19 whiffs with 8 strikeouts, 4 walks here, 0 earned runs. Good stuff here. Joey Wentz against the Guardians, I think it was pitching at his peak, 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. 17 whiffs, though, just a bad put-away rate for those 3 strikeouts. Four-seamer had a 81% strike rate and only two hits allowed, which will take all day. And the cutter was really, really good from Joey Wentz. So, you know, he avoided the heart of the plate, had good locations with the cutter. And I don't think he's going to stick around in this rotation, but if he were, it would be around the Cubs. And I don't really think, I don't really think that he is worth that one. It could also be the Astros. So you can just move on from Joey Wentz. I'm glad he did well here. Brent Kennedy survived against the Jays, but I just don't think there's anything in his east-west approach. Essentially four seamers, not sinkers, on left side. And then, of course, you have changeups in the other one. Glove side. As he's a right-hander with his changeups going arm side, of course. I just don't really think that is great for right-handers. Against left-handers, that can work, but just not against right-handers. So I don't really know if that's going to... Yeah, I don't want to buy into that. Peter Lambert did well in Coors against the White Sox. That's great. This was the best start of the year. 7 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. Wonderful, but it's the White Sox, and his changeup won't go 60% CSW moving forward. This is not it. Brian Bello against the Yankees is a holly, and he did exactly what he was supposed to do to get the win, and 1 run in 6 innings. 7 base runners, 4 Ks. Just don't expect him to grow at all the rest of the way. If he is going to, it would be in the offseason with a 4-seamer in his slider or curveball or something else. We're going to be hearing about it, I'm sure, from Brian Bello this offseason. Tarek Skubal against the Guardians got the win, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. Did everything you'd want with a Blake Snell blueprint with 4 seamers upstairs and changeups down. Even got sliders for strikes, even though they weren't the best sliders we've seen. This is exactly what we want from Tarek Skubal as he hovered or flirted with 96 miles per hour overall. Jameson Taillon allowed 4 runs, but only 2 earned against the Royals, but that means he took the loss. Opposite Cole Reagans, 6 innings, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He gets Pirates, Brewers, and Giants next, and I'm fine with that as a Toby. JP France, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. This is great, and now he gets the Tigers, yes, for this winning ball club. He didn't get the win, got the loss, 2 earned runs, but that's because Bryce Miller got lucky, but yeah, this is fantastic. Sweeper and change need a little bit of improvement, yes, but the 4-seamer cutter and curve are doing great things. You have Zach Thompson. I'm picking him up. He now gets the Pirates, and he went 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Not the greatest, but he earned a King Cole with a 40% CSW across 82 pitches. He has Steven Matz's spot. It's cutters being arm side, which is good. The curve being competitive. It was around 50% strikes, a little bit fewer than that, but they were very competitive, right? And there's a difference between just being wild and all of them falling up an arm side or just being bounced a ton. No, they were, I imagine he can be above a 50% strike rate, if not higher than that, moving forward in that curveball. And the 4-seamer confidently pounded the zone. It was really cool. So I'm here for this against the Pirates with Zach Thompson. Very sneaky pickup for your 12-teamers. Andrew Jackson for the Pirates against the Twins. 4.1 innings of 200 runs and 7 base runners and 6 Ks. This was kind of the best we've seen from him. Only 71 pitches, though, and high CSW on the sliders and changeups are kind of interesting, but I really don't think that he's that special and doing anything exceptional. All right, Cole Reagans went, and we did a whole watch party for this. I'm going to talk about that and, of course, everybody else, like Alcantara and Williams and so many more after this break. This podcast is sponsored by Underdog. Want to make money making picks on MLB games? And you have to try Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. In Underdog's Pick'em game, you just pick your favorite baseball players and predict whether they will go higher or lower on stats like strikeouts, hits, and more. Pick the 2 to 5 players, get all your picks right, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Be sure to sign up with the promo code PITCHERLIST and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100 so you have some bonus cash to start playing with. Again, that's Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com or Underdog Fantasy in the App Store. Sign up with promo code PITCHERLIST and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. In Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Cole Reagans against the Cubs got the win, and for the first 4 innings, well, really the first 3, it was fine. We're doing good, and then the 4th inning, he ran into some trouble. Bad defense behind him. Obviously, he allowed some hits, but he got singled out, really. And I was yelling with everybody else. He made some mistakes, sure, but they were not like your Jesus Lizardo mistakes, right? I also think that Cole Reagans was going a little bit too much with the changeup. Well, I think the other 4 pitches are honestly better pitches than his changeup. And to see, against righties, I understand, hey, you're a lefty, throw that changeup down away, that should be really good. But I actually think his cutter up and in is better, and especially with that four-seamer. So I do wonder if that will change. It is a Royals who we don't have the biggest faith in as far as developmentally. But I do think there's more to like with that changeup down and away. Than the changeup down and away with the curveball and the slider. And at the end of the day, I mean, the last inning, the sixth inning, it was insane. He just absolutely overran guys. He struck out the side, had three pitch strikeouts. One was two fastballs up and in, and then a perfect slider down and in to Candelario. It was great. And then he blew 98 miles per hour past Patrick Wisdom to end the game. That was 105 and 106th pitch that he threw was at 98. The last one actually 98.4, almost 99. Oh my gosh. So look, you understand my love for Cole Reagans. He also gets a much better schedule moving forward. And I'm really happy that he was able to save this one for going six innings and three earned runs. So that's a very poor quality start. Well, actually very, because it was 10 base runners. But then also nine strikeouts, going from six to nine is such a huge jump in value there. We all know the potential of Cole Reagans. It's just a question of how good his command will be and if he will make the proper adjustments during this development. This is the development period. I get so excited because I can see how this will go as long as there's health. And I really do believe in Cole Reagans for the long term. Short term, you might have some more stumbling. It's true, but it is a better schedule, and I'm just very excited about it, concerning he came out of nowhere. Sandy Alcantara against the Dodgers. Ace is going to ace? Not quite yet. Six innings, 300 runs, seven hits, one walk, six Ks. All earned runs came against home runs, which is kind of better. It's just solo shots. It's just like, okay, fine. 19 whiffs for a Gallows pole. That's really cool. Give me one more good game, as the slider command was excellent here, and I just want him to have a demonstrative great game against a good offense. I mean, this was a 4.5 ERA and a 1.33 whip. I don't want that, right? I want better. So I feel we are giving him that label after this, but hey, you did not fail us against the Dodgers. So cool. Gavin Williams did fail us against the Tigers, not because of the breaking stuff. The breaking stuff actually was exceptional. It was the four seamers who allowed 33% ball in play, which is super high. I don't really talk about ball in play percentage, but to see 12 balls in play on 36 thrown is just insane. And that's more because Gavin Williams didn't get his four seamers upstairs. That's really been his skill. That's why we've seen these incredible games. He would get 12 whiffs, not 12 balls in play. So that was frustrating. I think he's still great. 17 whiffs, 33% CSW. Just get those four seamers a little bit higher up, and the Tigers would not have done that kind of damage. You wouldn't have given the opportunity for them to score anything off of you. Andrew Heaney is a cherry bomb, and he was a cherry bomb. I'm glad to see he's back at 84 pitches after the illness thing, but yeah, he's a cherry bomb. Luis Medina was opened for and was terrible, and we haven't seen that slider for a bit now, and just completely ignore Medina. Also, honestly, ignore Alex Cobb. I know it was Atlanta. All I cared about were the skills. There was only four whiffs on the splitter. He is getting balls in play as he is keeping it down, but I don't want that. I want those balls in play, and I want those whiffs, and we're not getting the whiffs quite yet, so we're not there. With Alex Cobb, we haven't seen for ages with any sort of consistency. Brandon Woodruff, I was hoping to elevate ace is going to ace, but unfortunately not against the Rangers. 5.1 innings of 4 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. It was 2 home runs that messed them up in the 4th inning, and you know, I imagine it would have been fine against a worse offense, but I was hoping that this would be like the nice little bow to say, look, and he took down a really good offense. So I imagine like in two starts, if Woodruff is just looking like an ace the next two, then fine, then we have that label. At the very least, obviously, it doesn't really matter for your actual fantasy teams when you're just going to keep starting Brandon Woodruff. Kyle Gibson is a cherry bomb, and that's a blech, and it was Seattle, now Oakland, and like that's just who he is. 18 whiffs, 37% CSW, but like 4 runs and 9 hits in 5 innings. It's just kind of who he is. He even was a cherry bomb inside of the start, right? Tyler Anderson against the Rays. Honestly, didn't pitch so badly. It's 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. The line is bad. But what you want is the changeup to be good still, and it is. And he gets the Mets and Athletics next, and he might be good for both of those, if not at least one. He might be good for at least one of those, if not both of them. Okay, there you go. Just something to consider as a backup streamer is Tyler Anderson. As Ramos Ramirez, it was a bullpen game, and he allowed a grand slam to Shohei Ohtani. Yohan Adan is not doing enough. He did try to incorporate sliders more to try and have an extra thing on top of the curveball, but it was fine, but it really wasn't anything that was special. It was like 13 times thrown or something like that. You don't want to go for Yohan Adan. Mike Lorenzen, after throwing the no-hitter, we generally do see some sort of no-hitter hangover. And we got one, I guess. 3.1 innings of 6 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. But I don't really think that's what this was because he got extended rest. Normally, that's because you throw more pitches and you're not as good next time because you know, you're going in 5 days and you just get more fatigue. But he got like an 8-day rest here. So I don't know if that's really it. I think this is just kind of everything catching up to Lorenzen because we all know this wasn't... He's not supposed to be as good as he's been, right? And it's about time he had an unlucky game. So fine. That's this. We just hope it's a blip. He gets the Giants next and you still start him for that. Johnny Brito is a very cap ceiling anyway, around like 5 innings of a win, hopefully, and like 1 or 2 in runs. And it was against Boston, and it was the other side of that, which was 6 earned runs and 2.1 innings. We don't really want to go after Brito, save for like the best matchups. Michael Kopech is sitting 93.6, and it was in Coors, so yeah, that's not good. And Tony Gonsolin, poor guy. I know I haven't been the biggest fan of what Gonsolin does for your fantasy teams. At the same time, like, I feel for him so much. 10 earned runs here to really end this season on just such a bad note because now he's on the IL and there's no expectation with his elbow injury for him to come back this year. So I hope Gonsolin's all right. I hope he hasn't pitched his best ball, essentially. And I hope for him, the human, that he's able to bounce back next year and be someone that is someone that we can really latch onto for your fantasy teams. I'm not going to talk about today's games because I understand that it is not as early as I wanted to get this one out. So tomorrow's starters we have, and keep in mind, I understand there's a lot of doubleheaders today because of Hurricane Hillary hitting California, and they decided to have the doubleheaders today, which I think is a very wise move, which means we have fewer starters tomorrow, which means even fewer streamers to be desperate for, and oh boy, there's not much to chase here. So Zach Wheeler, Max Scherzer, and Max Fried are all in that top tier, obvious. Kyle Bradish, Hunter Brown, Eduardo Rodriguez now going tomorrow as opposed to today because they shuffled it up a little bit, so make sure he's in your lineup there. Logan Allen's on the other side of that against Detroit. Clark Schmidt is the stream pick of the day against the Red Sox. I think that's a fine one. He's a Toby, and that's okay. Nick Pivetta on the other side of it. I think he's still fine. I'm going to say that the slider command that was there for so long was a little bit worse last time, but he still got to do it kind of against the Yankees. And Kyle Hendricks, I struggle with this. Is he in questionable or probable? I went with probable because it's the Royals, and Hendricks has been good enough, and it's just, I feel like you have him, you're going to do it. But I do get it. The Royals are kind of good now. I don't know how much I buy it, but maybe they are. If you want to not do that, I get it. I just felt that the questionable start tier of Cease in Coors. Coors isn't as dangerous, and it's just kind of like Cease will do what he does. J.P. Sears against the Orioles. I mean, those are demonstrably worse than the other three I just mentioned, right? Clark Schmidt, Pivetta, Hendricks. I put them in probably start instead. And then you have Hunter Green against the Jays in a still ill situation. If you have Hunter Green in your teams, I say this often to guys. People are like, who do I drop because this guy's coming back? I say no one. Activate them, not the day that they're starting. It's often a still ill. It's often not worthwhile for that start. Take advantage of the fact that you don't need to make a move yet. Leave them in there. It does mean that when you do make a roster move, you cannot make one when they're activated, fine. But if you're talking about anyway dropping someone, who do I want to drop? Just don't do it. Wait one start, and you can get an extra 4 or 5 days. Maybe you'll be a lot clearer after that who you want to drop. This is still ill for Hunter Green, of course, against the Jays. I'm excited about it, though. Hyunjin Ryu's on the other side of that. It is in Cincinnati, but honestly, like, it's not that bad. I think Hyunjin Ryu is getting better with more starts. And Emerson Hancock, I know he did not do well against the Royals. It was a grand slam, though. And if he is doing well with his fastballs inside to the Astros batters, while leaning a little bit more, I think, on that changeup against the lefties against the Astros, I think this actually can be okay. Don't rule it out just because of that second start didn't go well for Emerson Hancock. And in the do not start tier, there is a desperate play here of Dakota Hudson against the Mets. He has gone 6-7 innings before. And Adrian Hauser, Chris Flexen, maybe as desperate plays here. Not fun. Adrian Hauser can just chuck fastballs. I know it's against Texas, but like, we've seen it before. Trevor Williams, Jordan Lyles, at least they'll be able to go 5-6 innings. Carlos Carrasco, I have no faith in. Same with Dallas Keuchel. Alex Wood against Atlanta. Like, is it going to be Jacob Junis first? And if it's, I mean, still Atlanta, like, no. And Osvaldo Beto has not gone the distance in any way. So we don't want to go with any of that. Dakota Hudson is like the one I actually was even tempted to put in a questionable start. But come on, it's Dakota Hudson. Can't do it. All right, that is all. Thank you all so much for putting up with my late podcast today. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your bounce be low and your strikeouts high.